everyone, and welcome back to the VR Chat Show. Woohoo! Thank you for joining us. My name is Alex Meland. I am your host for this episode. Thank you so much for being here. We are coming to you from within Rec Room inside a faithfully recreated walkabout mini golf environment, completely chock full of cherry blossom trees and castles and waterfalls, and it is magnificent and beautiful in here. And I, for one, am extremely excited to be here. Especially because joining next to me right here on the chair adjacent from Mighty Coconut, the developers of Walkabout Mini Golf, we have Lucas Martel, the director, executive producer, and CEO owner of Mighty Coconut. Thank you so much for joining us, Lucas.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. We are going to have a great time. We have an incredible cast of characters here joining us within the environment as well. As you can see, everybody's waving and they're all excited here as well. Among them are the crew who have created this space. Velp, the editor of animations. Knocked Auto is the artist here. We have Misery. She's an artist. Betty is the artist. Mystery, an artist. Clarity VR, an artist, and Jason, of course, the logo maker and producer of the show. Thank you guys for being here. Alongside of them, we have some folks from YouTube. That's right, the popular YouTube.com, and these guys make great VR videos for all of us to enjoy. Chris from Shughead Gaming is one of them. Hello, Chris. Thanks for being here. Dave from Dave Station VR, also in the audience. AJ from PSVR Underground is here. Yo. Will, that guy is Will VR. Skiva from the Between Realities podcast that I co-host, by the way. Hey, dude, good to see you out there. Betty, Creeper Betty, PSVR, and of course, Jason, the Livinator VR. That's everybody. Boom, we are all here. And of course, you guys at home, thanks for being here. Lucas, how's it going, man?
It's going great. This is quite like the another production. Day, it's just like being in a real studio.
Yeah. I was in Walkabout right before coming in here, and I feel like it captures the essence of the game pretty well in this environment.
Oh, it does. I love how you guys managed to get like every single environment. Every course is kind of like, yeah, all merged together into one.
These artists are phenomenal. I have no idea how they do it in here. And every time I come into this place, I have my mind blown. So it's a great environment, and I think it's done a good job to set the stage for you to kind of give us a little bit of background as to who you are, kind of how you got involved with Mighty Coconut, and then how Walkabout Mini Golf came to be.
Yeah, so I'll give you like hopefully the very short bio. So I actually come from more of a film background. So I first got into animation and stuff. I made a short film called Pigeon Impossible, which then that actually became the basis for Spies in Disguise that came out about a year ago with Will Smith and Tom Holland and a bunch of other folks. So I did that short film more or less by myself. I had like a couple people helping out. But yeah, it was just sort of me sort of like learning how to do 3D animation. And then after that, I did another short film called The Ocean Maker. And that's kind of what started up the studio. And this was an opportunity for us to kind of do our thing. So Mighty Coconut, up until fairly recently, has been mostly focused on animation and VFX. But now that we're sort of in the VR space, we're really like, this is sort of the main thing that we're focusing on and doing all that. So right now we're very, very small. Like most, you know, games companies and animation studios, we tend to like staff up and staff down, but yeah, so I had done Walkabout kind of as my quarantine project during all the COVID stuff. I'd been working on it a little bit beforehand, but then that just gave me an excuse to like spend a few solid months like really putting the finishing touches on it. And yeah, I had a little bit of help on one or two of the courses, but now we've since added, because I know the number one question is we are doing a lot more courses, and that's most of the team that I've added now is focusing on doing more courses.
Nice. That's great. Everybody loves courses and environments because, I mean, honestly, I was in there today. I had this like Disneyland feeling, honestly, like going into like these themed environments, like you go into a space, it like feels like you're in line at a theme park a lot of the times. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's one of the reasons why we love VR is we have the opportunity to immerse ourselves in these super fun and exciting environments. So I know for one that I'm excited to see a lot of them come.
Yeah, it's so much fun doing these too, just because sort of like it's the perfect size where like there's enough in there that you can kind of sink your teeth into and you spend a bit of time really working out all the details. But at the same time, there always comes a point where you're sort of like after you spent weeks and weeks like on this one thing, you start to get a little tired of it. And that's right about the time that you're finished and you get to move on and sort of shift it up and focus on the next one. So it's kind of, yeah, even from a development standpoint, it's kind of perfect from that. Because even if you're doing, you know, if you're doing a big AAA game or something, even if you are in different environments within that world, you're still going to be sort of like doing variations on a theme. Whereas this one, we get to just sort of like, okay, throw it all away. Now we're doing, now we're doing space. And then, we're going to go to a, gothic castle and just like totally mix it up every time. It's a lot of fun.
Would you say that that's the main thing that separates Walkabout Mini Golf from other golf games? Or is there something more fundamental that you would say separates you guys?
I mean, I do think that like one of the big things that I really wanted to do with it was to try to keep it somewhat true to life. And I think a big part of that is just sort of having these courses that as you go into them, it feels like it could really exist. We might be doing some things that you could never afford to do, or that you could, you know, it'd be unsafe to have balls flying through the air at 90 miles an hour all the time on a mini golf course. So, but it's still all real physics. And there's something about, it does feel, I think that the environments are absolutely sort of like what we focus the most energy on. Even, I mean, just like you would do level design in a AAA game, where we're all always thinking about sort of like, oh, well, if you show up here, we actually sometimes try to block off part of the course so that it becomes a big reveal when you get to a vista a few holes in, and little nooks and crannies that you don't necessarily see, or like you see that pirate ship is like, I want to go to there, but you keep seeing it until you get all the way to the end of the course. So there's a lot of those sort of things that that just go into, that's just good level design that I always really wanted to bring to the mini golf space.
Yeah, I loved the feeling of actually like moving through the mini golf course. Mm-hmm. Like in VR, we often capitalize on the convenience of it all. It's like, oh, just warp me mm-hmm. to where I need to go, and just like have the thing spawn in front of me. And I appreciate that in VR games. But when I realized that I wasn't getting warped to the next hole, and I was like, oh, I have to like look for it and find it now, like that kind of added this little bit of spirit of adventure to the game. And mm-hmm. finding also the hidden golf balls all over the place too, I thought was a really nice touch, and like gave me kind of something to like, made me immerse me more in the environment, because I'm like looking in the nooks and crannies and kind of looking at mm-hmm. all the details,
Yeah, it forces you to explore. And I'm so glad that we finally got to get the fox hunts in there, because that was another thing that we'd actually been working on those for a little while. And Henning, one of our, the other kind of main designer of courses and everything, he's done a few of these in real life before. And so it was really, really awesome to like set him loose. And it's also the perfect size course for that, where it's big enough that you can hide stuff well, but not so big that you're like having to traverse, having to spend right. a minute just getting from one side of the map to the other. So it's a really good setup for that, with lots of fun places to hide stuff and clues and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you guys have definitely found a good balance with that, Lucas. Let's open it up to some of the people who we have here in the audience with us. I know a lot of people have some perspective on the game and maybe some questions for you. Chris from Shughead Gaming, you want to start us off?
Sure. Thanks for joining us again, Lucas. You and I were talking earlier, and I was saying that I feel like a game like Walkabout Mini Golf lives and dies on the physics. I mean, if the physics don't work, nothing works. And you nailed the physics. The first time I jumped into the game, that was the immediate take. I was like, oh my god, this feels like mini golf. Like even without the weighted club, which some people might think that you would be missing that, I didn't really miss it. It just felt right. And as someone who golfs in real life too, I was like, all right, here's my 6 inches back, 6 inches forward, that's 6 feet forward. I was like, oh my god, this is working. It's like real golf.
Was that
really hard to nail? Was that a priority?
Well, yeah, it was absolutely a priority, and it's definitely sort of like what we focused on first. So let me actually jump into something else. So, and then I'll come back to that. So the game actually started off as an AR game, and we haven't released that version yet, but so we actually worked out the physics quite a bit in advance. And like, we had been working on that for probably 6 months, and a lot of it came down to, it's one of those things that the physics out of the box works like 90% of the time, but there's a lot of things in terms of how the ball comes off the club and how it comes to a stop that a lot of those things that we had to add some sort of like custom stuff on top of what was already going on with the physics. It is heavily, heavily sort of like we're doing everything we can to get those like one-off little fixes in there, and those little things that really kind of make or break the experience. It has to feel like if you ever miss a putt, it has to feel like it was your fault and not the game's, because that'll ruin someone's experience.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I had this moment when I was in there. It was almost this aha moment when I started up my quest, and, you know, I've got both controllers in my hands, and I start the game up, and I notice, like, you know, I push a button on each hand. It kind of flips the club back and forth in between my palms, and I go to kind of line up and do my first shot, and I realize that when I go to grip with my second hand, my right hand is all the way back on the putter, and I can't, like, I'm not... It's not going to latch on like a two-handed first-person shooter gun sometimes does, right? And then I was like, oh, and then actually I was playing with Skiva, and he was like, oh, dude, like, maybe you ditch the other controller. And was like, oh, you totally ditched the other controller. And then I was actually using my left hand to, like, hold on, and it felt legit, you know? So it was kind of this, like, aha moment for me where it was like, oh, you don't even need the second controller to do this.
Yeah, for some of the really serious players, they've even, because they do have golf grip attachments, like 3D printed ones that you can put on there that give you that feeling of the weight.
Nice.
And especially with the vibration, it really does feel accurate. Because I also golf in real life. I guess I haven't for quite a while, but I grew up kind of golfing. So that really adds to the experience. But yeah, it was definitely, there was a bit of a challenge with that, just sort of like getting, it's almost more of the getting people to realize that they only use one. We try to tell people that in several different places, but it's always just sort of like getting that user experience to realize that, oh, I put it down and just get used to that.
Dave, you got something for us?
Well, the nice thing about that is that we all teach each other so much within the game because of the nature of the game. You know, everyone wants to get in with friends, that as soon as you hop in, if you don't know the one controller thing, somebody will tell you. Or somebody will say, hey, look at this cool trick shot you can do on this course. Or, like, the ball's over here. And it's always kind of a collaborative experience. Even though it's competitive, it's always sort of collaborative, too, which I like.
Yeah. I think that some of that is also just sort of baked into golf, because golf is something where you're competing against yourself. And yes, you are competing against other people, but it's not like you have that, like, it's not a zero-sum game where, like, you have to destroy the other person in order for you to have a good game or something like that.
You haven't seen some of the matches I've been in. We have.
And you can do that. I actually have a lot of fun talking just a little bit. By the way, can we swear on this? Should we not? I won't. But it's really fun to talk a little trash, like, on the course.
That's so funny.
I believe talking shit was what you were going for.
Yeah, that's what exactly I was going for, yes.
Absolutely.
Let's go ahead and tag Jason in, the Livinator VR. What you got for us, Jason?
I appreciate the fact that even with a small putter, I can hit at the same force as a guy with a bigger putter out there. that way, I mean, it's perfect for me. No, it's perfect for me because that way I don't have to feel inferior while I'm playing the game. But all jokes aside on that, I appreciate the fact that you made it for seated players, because I was worried that it would be a big difference when I was playing the game. But honestly, it wasn't. Like I said, it's awesome to play, but thank you so much for making it for seated players. I appreciate you.
Oh, is accessibility something that comes up?
I could take credit for that. I think a lot of it is just me being lazy and me not wanting to stand up. So I might have caught a few of those while I was developing.
The funny thing is the funny thing is when I'm sitting there talking big game, it gets all supersized for me, and then by the time comes the hit, that it shrinks back to normal reality there for me there. So it's kind of.
So you like to observe the game from God mode then?
It's pretty interesting. It's interesting how it's like, I'm like, hey, you would think it would stay the same size there for me, but it's hilarious.
It got cold in here all of a sudden.
We're going in. Nice. All right, that's it.
Let's go ahead and, of course, man. Let's go ahead and throw it over to Will. Yeah, your name's Will, right?
I hope so. Yep.
My name is Will.
I didn't even know what I was going to say after Jason's joke,
that guy is Will.
First off, I just want to say I love the game. I only played it the first time a few days ago on Quest, but I was shocked with how realistic it was and how immersive it was. If it weren't for the barrier system, I would have been running into all of the things in my room. I was just so immersed in trying to get the ball into the goal and moving around it, and I was starting to bump into my couch and whatnot. But my question is, did you have any plans for smooth movement within the game, or did it just work better once you tested it?
So we're actually working on that now. So yeah, we're definitely going to do smooth movement. That's been a highly requested thing. So we're working on it now. I've learned my lesson not to commit to any time frames with stuff, but we're actively working on it right now. So it's coming. A lot of people have said it would be really nice because the courses do, the way they flow together, you do kind of want to get that sense a little bit more of how it all works together. I think that we did the, we kind of did the teleport thing. Actually, the whole kind of like idea behind the general design, I have this obsession with games that can be played with one button. The couple of other games that I've done all kind of have the same. And so technically you can play Walkabout with just a single, just the trigger button to warp you to your ball, which is really nice, especially because I know there's a lot of people coming into the game who have never played VR. So it does feel like a very nice, you know, you don't have to talk them through a whole lot. You can, you know, trigger all the menus with just that trigger button and teleport. And then if you want to pick up lost balls and all that, but it does really, really help to just simplify it down to the bare minimum that you need. So
I just wanted to jump in there very quickly. I was trying to flag you there, Alex, but I can say from personal experience, being the VR guy, I am not liking click turning and all that such. I really appreciated actually the simplistic nature of it, because this was a great game to throw my wife into a second headset and we just played in our same space, and like even friends that weren't VR people to just be like, just hit the trigger. There, see, the ball's in front of you. Oh, okay, cool. It was just so nice to not have to explain a game to someone.
So one of the so I used both my parents as beta testers kind of like early on, and that was that very, very helpful because they are not tech. They have never played video games at all. And just having some people who are like that, that you kind of have to think about, the full spectrum of gamers. And I do think there's a lot of people coming into VR now who kind of fit that bill, who are not, they're not gamers, they're not doing anything like that, and using VR as a way to hang out with people that they can't hang out with in real life. So I think that we're going to see more games that kind of fit that group of people.
Super casual, yeah. There's a place for that for sure.
Mm-hmm. AJ from PSVR Underground.
Hey, Lucas. AJ, nice to meet you, man. You know, I'm PSVR Underground, but I've got a Quest 2. I really like it a lot. And Walkabout Mini Golf, of course, is one of the games I frequently play the most with a social thing. And I was just wondering, have you guys had any consideration bringing it over to PSVR or maybe even PSVR in the future? And, you know, I can't wink right now, but I'm winking at you.
So we haven't really explored that just because they've just announced everything. That said, we're looking at bringing, we've already announced the Steam. We have the iOS and Android version coming soon. So it's one of those things that I would love it to be on as many platforms as makes sense. So it only seems like it's just, we just kind of need to figure that out, and we have to get the Steam version out first. So basically without committing it to anything, it's sort of like, I'd love to do it on PSVR. So I should also admit that, like, because I come from the film world and like I'm actually like probably the least knowledgeable person about some of the VR stuff out there, I spent so much time developing this, I actually haven't even gotten a chance to play a whole lot of VR games. So it's funny, when we first got in the rec room, like I had no idea how to do much of anything. So a lot of it is sort of like, it's also just me getting familiar with the space and getting to know, I got to talk to the Sony guys about, what that would look like to bring it over to PSVR.
For sure, man. I think it'd be a great addition.
The controller's perfect.
For PlayStation? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I was chomping at the bit to say that. It's designed just like a golf club handle.
Betty, I know you've got a question for us, don't you, Betty?
Hi, Lucas. Creeper Betty here. Thank you so much for joining the show. Super exciting. Mm-hmm. I love the game. Every weekend, I always come in the morning and play cafe golf and try to gather whoever I can. I'm curious, are we going to, I know that we're working on more courses, or that you're working on more courses, I should say, and I love all of the courses. Are you going to be working on like maybe some more hat designs, maybe a section where we could pick out hats, glasses, colors, you know, just to kind of change it up a little bit?
So the avatars are definitely like that's one of the few things that's really stuck around from the first version of the game. So we're we're going to be doing a full sort of avatar redo. We're kind of looking into whether, you know, that's sort of like rolling our own solution or whether we're tying into some existing systems out there. So basically that's the long way of saying, yes, we're absolutely going to be doing some more avatar customization stuff. We're just still figuring out exactly what that looks like.
I mean, you know, that's the head.
Yeah.
We'll keep that. Just change hats and glasses.
It's funny. This is my first VR game and also my first multiplayer game. And in fact, this wasn't even multiplayer until about 3 months before launch. And cool. Oculus had said, this is such a great social game. You really, really need to add multiplayer. And so to be perfectly honest, the heads were like me just like really, really quickly trying to get it even working in multiplayer. And luckily it seems like it did. And it does. I mean, it does function. It's surprising how much communication you can get just out of the tilt of someone's head while you're sharing the same 3D space. But yeah, we're long overdue for an avatar update.
Yeah, and even if you had to earn those said hats, like some of those hats, the special ones for like getting, you know, less than par on a certain course or something like that to earn a hat would be great.
Yeah, well, there's a lot more features that we've already kind of announced or sort of on our roadmap. I mean, smooth locomotion, the Steam version, new avatars are some of the bigger ones. We also want to add in a few more game modes and mini games and even some sort of like daily challenges or specific ways. And so, yeah, being able to unlock hats or some of those collectibles. Everyone seems to love sort of finding the lost balls, and I want to add more of those. At the same time, we've only got a table this big, so we need to make sure with all the courses that we're adding, they're going to fit into that space. So, but mixing it up and having hats and other accessories and stuff, we're definitely looking at that.
I'm right there with you, Creeper Betty. I am right there with you because one of the things that keeps me coming back to a game is when I know that maybe there's like a time limited exclusive item that I can earn as an accolade for my achievements, you know, not necessarily something like if it's like, oh dude, like if I do well this week, I get the gold visor and then I can pimp that thing for the next year and nobody else has a gold visor because I did that, you know, like, and that kind of stuff like really incentivizes me to go back to a game and like keeps me interested, you know. So I'm right there with her. Yeah. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, this is kind of piggybacking off of that, but on our Discord, which the easiest way to get to is just discord.mightycoconut.com, but we have a lot, I mean, we have weekly tournaments that are on there, and there's also been a really popular one, the Daily Challenge, where people are going in and trying to hole-in-one, like impossible holes, or there's been a couple where they have to go, you have to hit a hole-in-one, but you're starting on the tee of 9, and you've got to hit it into the hole on 11. Some crazy things like that. We don't have any of those in game yet, but I feel like that's the exact sort of thing, like just really sort of like crazy hard achievement stuff that would be a lot of fun to drop in there for collectibles.
That does sound fun.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and bounce it over to Noctado. I know Noctado had a question for you, Lucas.
Yeah, so I heard that you guys are going to be adding 8 players to the game at some point. Mm-hmm. But my question is for that is, will others be able to like move ahead, or will everyone have to wait for the 8 to finish before moving on to the next course? Because I know it could probably take some time, or if someone goes AFK to grab like a soda or whatever, you know what I mean? It could take forever.
So I think that probably the thing that will mitigate that is that, so again, I can't really commit to this, but this is also nice that, you know, we don't have a publisher or anything, so I can just sort of say, so don't hold me to this. But I think what we're probably going to do is add some other modifiers to the game. So that basically you'd be able to say, like, you know, in addition to sort of like playing the full 18, front 9, back 9, there'd probably be a custom option where you can just set different things. So I think the thing that's going to work best for that, we'll probably have a version where everyone can just play simultaneously. So then it's more like being on a real course where, you know, if you prefer to do the furthest from the hole goes first, you know, you can just sort of putt whenever you want. I think that'll really help speed that up. And we had some issues with that, but now hopefully now that we've kind of got that working already in the practice mode, it should be a fairly easy thing to do. I always say that, and then I end up like, oh, wait a second. It's a domino effect. That breaks that, which breaks that, which breaks that, which breaks that. So, but I think that's probably going to be the solution that you're talking about.
Oh, cool. Skiva from Between Realities. What's going on, man?
Mm-hmm. What is up, guys? How are you doing today?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
I had a question about your design process. So did you, when designing the courses, did you guys all get together and kind of go out and do some mini golf courses? Or did you kind of sit in a boardroom and kind of sketch everything out and storyboard things? Or what was it like for you and your team to come up with some of these course designs?
So I had done the five courses I designed myself. So that was more just going in and testing. Now that we've got a few more people, we've got several more courses that are all in various states of progress right now. So we've kind of started collaborating a little bit, but a lot of the design process comes up with figuring out the theme and some reference images. We also try to come up with, you might notice that the holes on each of the course, like we try to come up with a shape language that, you know, Seagull Stacks is like, it's all these very natural organic shape borders, whereas Cherry Blossom, it's all wood and very angular and square. So it just kind of helps the course feel unique, even in the hole design, not just the sort of like the environment around it. We always try to figure that out as part of the process. And then it kind of depends a bit on what the course is, but I know we've actually started doing much more of the actual design work in VR. So Gravity Sketch we've been using quite a bit. And we've even started using, because they, on one of the higher end editions, they actually have some collab things that they're able to, you're able to use. So you can actually go in and you can actually be moving stuff around. So I don't want to say too much about that because I think we're kind of part of their beta program, but I know that's a general part of their enterprise sort of solution. But just that, just being able to go into the same 3D shared space and actually work stuff out, it really, really helps. We still do a lot of design on paper and all that sort of stuff, but there tends to be sort of like one designer for each course. Generally, it's either me or Henning as the other main designer. And we still weigh in and give each other feedback and stuff. But yeah, that's the sort of general design process.
Nice. Awesome. Knocked out. I saw you were trying to tag back in.
Yeah. I just have a question, for this. What is your favorite club and ball? I just wanted to know.
Ooh, that's a good question. I think I really like the Arizona Modern putter. In fact, I'm looking at Arizona Modern right behind you, sort of like that super weird sort of like, yeah, the one with the crazy like half moon shape sort of at the bottom. Yeah, I just like that sort of ultra modern kind of surreal style. Ball, I go back and forth. I like anything with the sort of like hard line in it. So honestly, I think that I end up using like the blue and red, like half and half one most of anything. But that could also just be me because I'm also doing all the lighting. So I'm looking at the color, and that one tells you really well if you're balancing the colors well. So not the most interesting one, but very, very good for doing lighting design and stuff.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, like, I mean, a lot of us is like already completed. I know Misery over there has like every single ball and club in the game now. So mm-hmm. It's probably tougher to decide which one to use, because she's got all of them. So, but yeah, like, I mean, we love all the designs you do for each of them. They're so cool. So,
well, kind of what I was talking about earlier, like I would be using the one that was the hardest for me to obtain if that was an option. Like if it was like, mm-hmm. oh yeah, this is the one that I got with a hole in one. So that is the ball that I'm using.
You want to be able to flex on all the other players around.
Yes, mm-hmm. I do. Yes, I do. I think it's time that we hear from Dave Station VR again.
Hey, Lucas, thanks for being here. I think I told you before the show, but like some people have said, this game is so great for people who aren't even into VR. Like I have a friend who hates, like he thinks I'm so stupid when I'm in VR. As soon as I put him in this game, he was having a ball and he's asked about it again. He was like, how much do these things cost, you know, for the quest? So it really is that kind of universal, like plop anybody in and they'll have a good time game. So props on that. My question originally, I think in the script, was about PSVR, but I don't want to beat you over the head with that. So I want to know, has someone gotten a hole-in-one on every single hole? Like, are there crazy trick shots that you've seen or had submitted to you, or is there, like, a compilation video I can watch or something? Because I know I'm always going for the trick shot. Like, that's my favorite mm-hmm. part of figuring out a course. I'm like, okay, well, if I bank this here and this weird rock, oh, that's why that weird rock is there. I think I can. And I guess I want to know, like, if you guys think about that, too, while you're designing, like,
yeah.
putting in those little hacks, if people look the right way at the course.
So, yeah, so that was something we never really intended for that design to sort of like to, like, we never put all those in there. It has been more of a natural thing. That said, now that in some of the newer courses, we've kind of started thinking about that a little bit more, or if nothing else, at least being sure that, you know, even though there's no reason for anyone to ever sane, any sane person to ever hit that rock over there, now we'll go and we'll put a collider on it because we know that someone's going to be trying to do some weird trick shot that does that. So well, we don't, so we try not to think about it too much.
It doesn't bounce off the rock. I'm like, damn, this game, they didn't put collision on that rock, because yeah, half the rocks do work. And then the one that doesn't, you're like, no, my trick shot has failed entirely.
Well, yeah, and so we've actually, with that. Yeah, but so on the Discord, like I said, that's where there's a ton of people doing trick shots. I think at this point, someone has hole-in-one to every single one of them. There was even, I know, Arizona 18, which is the one that seems like it should be impossible because it's just out over this void, but you got to, like, slalom it around some stuff. Someone came up with some ridiculous sort of, like, way to bounce it off one of the rungs of the fence and stuff. So if you just Google walkabout mini golf hole in ones, there's some compilation videos where people have hole in one, I think, at this point, every hole. Maybe there's one that exists out there, but it's pretty much all of them. So, but yeah. And also on that, so because we have so many of those trick shotters on the Discord, people are always saying, oh, hey, like, I want to bounce off of this. Like if people tag me with that, I'll usually just go in, because it doesn't take a whole lot of work to add a collider to something. I can just hit a button on it. It's just the especially on Quest, like the processing, like we can't just add colliders to everything or the system can't quite handle it. So we have to be a little judicious with it. But yeah, if there's ever something like that, in fact, some of the rocks that you probably try to bounce off of, you might try them again, because I bet we probably added something to it.
Excellent. Yeah. It must be an awesome feeling to see people being so incredible at a game that you created that, like, you can't even picture this shot that they came up with. You're like, I didn't think of that, and I made the
oh, like, it's some of the really pros feeling, right? Wipe the floor with me. Yeah,
right.
Like, I'm definitely not the best player in the game. Like, there's a brief, like, one day, like, when a new course comes out where I am probably the best player on that course, but it only takes people about a day to get to that point where they've come up with some crazy shots that I would never have imagined. So yeah, it's actually a really rewarding experience to get, like, completely, like, hammer or just completely sort of destroyed at your own game.
That's like a source of pride for me if I have the ability to beat a developer at the game they made. Like, that's like, mm-hmm. I almost like chalk them up, like, in tallies, you know. It's like, yes, yeah. Another developer.
Yeah,
notch on my belt.
Well, this is interesting too, because a lot of games that are more combat based, or just most other games, it would be much more difficult to sort of, like, for the developer to go in and try sort of everything. But in this one, because we can hop in and just instantly go to the hole we're testing out, I've played all the holes, and a lot of times I'm probably not the best, because I'm not always necessarily going for the one route. I'm not always trying to play it the same way. I'm always trying to do weird stuff just to make sure that nothing breaks. So it's right. I haven't quite perfected that. Oh no, here's the one line that you want to use on this hole consistently.
Mm-hmm. So. All right, we've got a totally open floor here before we start to wrap this up, if anybody wants to go ahead and jump in.
Lucas, as someone who grew up on the PSVR, and I promise I'm not going to beat you down with that question, but one of the things that, as over those 4 years of being a PSVR gamer, I always was screaming, why don't we have a mini golf game, a real mini golf game, not the one that we had before where it was still just like a, you know, the normal third person kind of view, but like, you know, a first person mini golf game like you created. And I couldn't believe that no one had done it. Did you look at the kind of the VR scene and go, wow, no one's really done that properly? You know, are you a golfer fan yourself? And I guess, and finally, are there other things that you've looked at in the VR gaming world and gone, why hasn't anyone done that?
So yeah, I mean, I definitely came into it and sort of looking like, man, mini golf would be perfect for this. Like, why I wanted to play something and I wasn't finding what I was really wanting out there. There were a couple of other attempts and stuff, but I think it is one of those things that, like, on the surface, it's not a difficult game. Where it does get, like, I think that a lot of people, though, look at mini golf as sort of like, oh, it's just a little mini golf thing. But if you really want to do it well, it does take a certain level of polish and some, I mean, the physics especially, like it's kind of more intense, and there's a lot more math going on than you would necessarily think if it's like, oh, some little silly mini golf game. So I think honestly a lot of that one just came down to the fact that people had almost kind of written off mini golf because they always think of, I don't want to say the bad version, but you know, they think of something else that isn't like true mini golf. Games that like that are other things that are out there, I've got a couple other things. I've even got some beyond prototypes of a couple of things that I'm working on, so I can't really say what those are right now. And to be honest, we're so focused on Walkabout that I'm really not going to be able to dive back into those for a little while, because I still like, we want to do so many more courses and so many more features to add. I want to kind of keep breathing life into this one before I get distracted with the next shiny thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you keep those to yourself, because I'd rather you make them than someone else.
Dave?
So I love the courses that you guys have designed, and I can't wait for more of them. But with the Steam release pending, I have to ask the inevitable question. Do you guys consider any support for like Steam Workshop, where people can make their own courses and play those with their friends, import them to the game somehow? Because that would really open up a lot of cool possibilities, I think.
So I've actually looked into that quite a bit, and right now we've actually kind of explicitly said that we are not doing that. The main reason being that we are going for full crossplay. So when the AR version comes out, I mean, like, yes, obviously, so Steam would be able to play against Oculus, but even if you've just got a phone and you're playing the AR version, even if you're just on an Android device, you can play against someone in a headset.
I want to stop you there. You're telling me that in the near future, people on Android devices, smartphones, whatever, will be able to play this with people on Oculus crossplay AR?
In fact, what? Yeah, so we have the beta of that right now. In fact, I think that's awesome. What I mentioned, that this started as an AR game where you actually play it. You can't see, but if I was just holding a phone, you just put like that.
Oh my God.
I was just going to ask. I was like, I bet you swing your phone. You're swinging your phone. That's so good.
It is different just because you're not able to look around. And like the biggest challenge is that you're not able to sort of like timed. We're working on a couple of kinks, but no, it's actually up. If you just do a Google search for Walkabout beta, or I can give you a link or something, but we've got it in beta. We've got a bunch of people actually playing, and it's full crossplay. Wow. So it's great, especially if you've got someone, if you only have one headset, or if you've got someone who, there are still some people who just get VR sickness and they just can't sort of like have the headset on. So that's been a really nice way to sort of like ease people into that. But it's full crossplay. You can, it's just like being there in VR.
You opened the AR can of worms. So I'm curious, have you implemented this into any AR glasses like the HoloLens or Enreal's AR glasses or anything like that?
So we haven't really done that yet. When I say AR on the phone, we're using AR Kit and AR Core to track, but it's still sort of like, it's still like VR through your phone. Like it's not actually integrating with the real world at all. Theoretically, it's one of those things that if the Holo, because right now there's not a whole lot of HoloLens or the Unreal. So like once there's more of those out there, there's no reason that we couldn't port it over to those devices. Just sort of like PSVR, like all those things we're talking about, we want to support as many different devices as makes sense. It just has to get to a point where there's enough of those devices out there that, we're not creating something for just, a few hundred people. So.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Cool.
So there's not a Nokia version coming out anytime soon. I could play Snake.
Android as the beta, or is it also iPhone, or is it just?
It's both. Yeah. In fact, it works really, really well on an iPad, just because you've got a little bit more screen real estate. But it works fine on your phone. And there's some people who I know have been saying like, I was on the ferry. I think they live in Manhattan, or they work in Manhattan or something. They were riding the ferry in and playing mini golf out on the deck of the ferry one day. So,
wow. So that's someone who doesn't care what they look like at all.
Well, it also, it's not because, so we made one other game that, if you really want to talk about people who don't care what they look like. So the other game we made, it actually won the Jury Prize at IndieCade Europe. It was called Laser Mazer. But that was sort of where this whole idea came from, because in that one, it's sort of like you're physically walking around the environment, walking through mazes and like ducking underneath lasers. But you're doing, you're still doing, you have to physically move around in the real world. So it wouldn't work in a headset, because we've got a lot of people doing some really sort of like things that would be unsafe to be doing in a headset. But because you're just looking through a phone, you can easily do it. The one, like although that one, like, it was like people have played it really, really like it. That one, like, the number one thing is sort of like, I can't like go out to a park and do this because everyone will laugh at me. So yeah, that's because you have to like actually like physically in the real world, like crouch. And we do have a mechanism so that you could play it in like a small apartment or something, but it's way, way more fun if you actually go out to a park, and so many people are self-conscious about that. But just if you're like that and just swinging, like, it's not that sort of like, it's not nearly as off-putting as strapping on a headset.
Yeah, and I remember, when Pokemon Go dropped, oh my god, we keep saying the same things, Alex.
We do.
But I beat you to him by half a second. But yeah, no, I would see people like wandering the sidewalks like zombies, and I realized, oh, that person is playing Pokemon Go. And you start to see them everywhere, and like, certain things have enough of an incentive to play it that people will look stupid just to do it anyways. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I have a question. I wonder if that would work with a selfie stick.
It does, you know, actually. It works really, really well.
Yeah. Oh, that's perfect.
A lot of people have done that.
Just off the old selfie sticks, you know? That's what I'm thinking this whole time, this whole conversation.
That's one of the things. So we haven't actually done it, but a lot of people have said, oh, we should take, because the shutter button on the selfie stick, we should find a way to just hook that up, because then that could be your teleport button. So that's something we've been playing around. But yeah, a lot of people will do it that. I've also got, sitting right next to me, I've got a real life putter that I've just like put a little mount on that you can hold the phone so you actually get the physical sort of like weight of it and everything. So the only thing with that is that you are still looking at a small phone screen, but again, it's still, it absolutely works.
Maybe you can adjust the height, you know, so depending on
If you just want to be sure that you are, like, if you hold it in a way that the phone is, that it's, you're kind of holding underneath the phone is ideal. But yeah, but there's a lot of people who are playing with a selfie stick.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm. Well, for now, the way to play Walkabout is still in VR.
No.
Yes. I should also say that, like, the AR thing, it's really cool and novel. I think a lot of people are going to get into it that way. But VR is always where we're going to stay focused. And, like, even on all the new courses, even though it's sort of like we're always thinking about what is going to be the best experience for VR players, AR is great, but it's like we're not pulling any punches in terms of whole design or course design in order to make things, you know, to favor the AR thing. So VR is always going to be the most immersive and best way to play it.
Beautiful. Well, we're all here for it. We all love VR, and we are thankful that we have people like you out there who are willing to work so hard to bring amazing experiences like Walkabout Mini Golf to us. What is the best way to follow along with Walkabout Mini Golf, and kind of give us some closing thoughts as we wrap this up?
Okay. Well, so the best way, through our Discord, very active, we take requests. That's where all the trick shotters and some tournaments and stuff get run through our Discord. That's just discord.mightycoconut.com. We'll hot link you through an invite there. We're also on Twitter, just mighty_coconut. You can find all that on our website, just walkaboutminigolf.com. As for closing thoughts, man, that really puts me on the spot. Just keep golfing. Just
there you go.
All your time golfing. Tell your friends to come golf with you.
Thank you all so much for joining us. This has been the VR Chat Show. I'd like to again thank all of our artists that made this amazing set. Jason, the Living Air producer of the show, our amazing panelists of YouTubers. Thank you guys so much for being here and all of your thoughts. Lucas, Martel, Coconut of Mighty Proportions, Mighty Coconut, Walkabout Mini Golf is the game, ladies and gentlemen. Again, my name is Alex Milan. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you on the next time, because we have so many more episodes with amazing VR developers coming, so stay tuned. Hit subscribe. You guys know what to do. Drop comments below, and we'll see you next time. Thanks again, everybody.
Bye!